Amen. The Lord's good. Amen. Some of you, most of you have probably heard, but the Lord has added a little warrior among us, little Gabriel Del Signor, and pray for Katie. She had some complications and just believing for a speedy recovery there. Amen. And excited about for those young people and what God is doing in our midst, praise God. Should the Lord tarry, another conqueror, more than conqueror, in Jesus' name, amen. Excited. Let's go ahead and pick up where we've been in the study. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit in light of our preparation for the Lord's coming, the purification of the bride of Christ. You know, if you listen, it's been many years since you've heard people talking about the second coming of the Lord. You just don't hear it much anymore. You can scan the airwaves, whether it be radio or television, and most people are talking about how we can be successful in this life, the building of a successful family, and thank God the Word provides for that. Amen. But you know, we've seen much of the church lose sight of the blessed hope. That glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So many of us have become such earth dwellers, as the Greek speaks when it talks about this judgment, this wrath that is going to come upon all of them that dwell upon the face of the earth. And that word dwell is interesting. It talks about being an earth dweller, not just an occupant, but someone that's taken up a permanent residence. They begin to see this as home. This isn't our home, praise God. He has gone and prepared a place for us. Hallelujah. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I thought it was interesting all those years ago when I was just a young believer, and remember being in the young adults, and there was a lot of preaching back then about the coming of the Lord. There was a great expectation. In fact, the whole Jesus movement, as the revival that broke out in that day, the central theme back in that day was, Jesus is coming, you better get ready. Amen. And we were raised in that, and so a lot of my friends that were there in the youth group, and many of us singles, we would go out and have great fellowship, a good time together, spending time in prayer together, getting off alone and seeking God. Oh, we had fun. We did a lot of recreating also, but so many times remembering about just slipping off into the prayer rooms and seeking Father. One of the first times we ever experienced laughing in the Spirit, and I've shared that with you, but Bill Beasley, and the Spirit of God came on him, and he began to just laugh in the Spirit, just belly laughing. It's tough to pray with that going on. And in fact, you can't help but laugh. I mean, that's all there is to it. So the next thing you know, I think there were like just five of us in there, but we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. We must have laughed an hour and a half. Laughter's good for you. And just enjoying the presence of God. And the place I was going with this was the fact that many of the young people then were like, man, you know, I'd sure like to get married before the Lord comes. Today, you know, it's marriage is put off longer and longer in our society today. And, you know, it's like, man, I'd really like to get married before retirement. You know, and some of these things. But whatever it is, you know, that I'd like, you know, I'd like to make my first million before the Lord comes. You know, I've given up on the first million. I'm working on the second now. And anybody identify? Amen, right? Some of you will get that in a minute. You'll be like, what? earth dwellers, there is not one thing here, not one thing here that can be placed in comparison to what He's prepared for us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those of us that love Him. Hallelujah. Now that's all on top of Him. Just seeing Him. Being with Him. Being like Him, praise God. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I don't know, you know, what type of things that might be going on, if anything. We do know that night and day, the holy creatures cry out nonstop, holy, holy, holy. Amen. We know also that we're going to come back and rule and reign with Him. That should be an exciting time. And, you know, who knows how that's all going to shake down during the millennial reign. What a cool time that's going to be. The point I'm making is we got a lot better things to look forward to than what we have here. Amen. And we need to get our eyes lifted up and start looking. Our redemption is drawing nigh, praise God. And He's going to appear to those that are looking for Him, the scripture says. And He's going to appear to those that love His appearing. And so if that excitement's gone, if that anticipation is gone, we need to stir that back up in our hearts. I remember when the kids were little and we'd be driving down the road. And I mean, it would, you know, just matter-of-factly. And Kimberly would be looking and she'd say, Daddy, Daddy, is that one of the clouds that Jesus is coming in? And she'd look and, man, expecting the return of the Lord. Looking into the clouds. Look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. And so as we allow ourselves to be stirred up and excited with that, and we begin to walk out of the death grip of this world and all of its vanity. You know, you read the wise man and we read it and we look and everything that people are pursuing and giving their time and energy for, the Bible calls vanity. All of that that's in time and space, that's secular, is vanity at its best. And we're called in this hour to come to that understanding and lay up treasures in heaven. Amen? Begin to lay up treasures in heaven. Let's begin to get rich in heaven. And no thieves can break in and steal your reward. The stock market crashing doesn't affect any of that investment, praise God. Rust cannot corrupt. Thieves cannot steal, hallelujah. Oh, that Father would give us the understanding of how great an investment it is to invest in one another's lives. In winning souls, in encouraging and building up the body of Christ. And so we want to talk some more about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And it's an expression of those hearts that are heavenly minded. Those lives that are so alive in the Spirit that all we see around us that matters are those things that are eternal. We begin to get a heart's change, and as this self-serving, self-indulgent spirit continues to die, and we begin to take on the servant's heart, and people around us begin to get lovely instead of become a headache, a hindrance, a burden, an obligation. Oh, how great it is to be alive in the Spirit and look out into the world at the most unlovely among us. And be passionately in love with their souls. And be touched with the feelings of their infirmities. You see, that's Christ's likeness. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so there's not then a need to have us motivated to become soul winners. We are compelled to be soul winners. Amen? We cry out with the apostle, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That wasn't just for Paul. That's for you and I. Amen? Woe is me. Go into all the world, disciples. It didn't say preachers. It didn't say fivefold ministry gifts. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Are you bored with life? Are you discontent with life? Are you dissatisfied? Are you under the compulsion of having to be successful and you know, be of notoriety in this life? Are those the things that are motivating you? If they are, we're never content. We've never got enough. But if fulfilling this message to go into the world and empty our lives out for the lost in fulfillment to that great commission, if that's what's motivating you, what peace and joy it brings to our hearts to live as the obedient. With the servant's heart, who are truly, the scripture said, the greatest among us. Amen? And so with that in mind, we want to look back and say, okay, so how does this translate, the fruit of the Spirit? How does this translate then into these areas that we've talked about that are so vital to the body of, to the body of Christ? You know, our two major obligations, of course, the first commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Amen? And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the question was asked, who's my neighbor? And Jesus made it very clear, your neighbor is the person who's in need at this moment that you have the opportunity to meet that need. That's who your neighbor is. Wherever God has placed you at that moment to be able to speak the eternal values into a life, to express the love of Jesus, to give a cup of cold water in His name. Isn't it great when you experience that? You know, there's so many benevolent things that are going on, but the reality is we as believers, whenever we're showing biblical benevolence, it always has to be in the name of Jesus. Amen? So when you bless whoever it is you might be blessing, it's always in the name of Jesus. What are we saying? If it wasn't Jesus in me, I wouldn't care about you. I would be just like everybody else. I would be in looking out for number one. Do unto others before they do unto you is the way the world lives. Aren't you glad God's given you a new heart? Aren't you glad tonight that that old man is dead and crucified with Christ? Aren't you glad tonight that old things have passed away and all things have been made new so that I can stand here today no longer a self-serving, prideful rebel, but a redeemed Son of God who has been loved that I might freely love. Praise God. And this is what God has done in our hearts, and we can't lose sight in this hour with all of the busyness around us and this crazy world that we're living in. Thankful for what God has given us. Remember, one of the signs of the last days, and don't see it as something that just belongs to those people who have come to that place to where they finally apostatize and left the church and tread the blood of Jesus beneath their feet. He's talking about an environment, and he says one of the things that you have to guard against in this last hour, this thing will kill you, and part of that is unthankfulness. Unthankful. Unholy. Isn't that what the scripture says? Oh, how we need to lift our voices in thanksgiving and praise to the Father for what He's done in our lives. Not what He's given us, what He's done in our lives to change us. Praise God. Too many of us just thank God for the blessings We need to thank Him for who He is, praise God. We need to thank Him for our redemption. Take everything else. Just leave me Jesus, man. And as we have that kind of a heart attitude, you know, this is that expression then of the fruit of the Spirit and how we relate to one another through that. And so we were looking and we understand that the fruit of the Spirit then is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And of course we'll have been, and however long we stay on this subject, we'll continue to be making references back to 1 Corinthians 13 and all of those aspects as to how love expresses itself in the body of Christ and in our interpersonal relationships, primarily in our marriages, in how we relate to our children. You know, so often, you know, dads, we become bitter and sharp, and be very careful that you don't hurt your wife, and be very careful that you don't injure your children's tender souls. In the way that you administrate your office, the overseer of your little flock. Love as you've been loved. Do unto others. And that goes for your children and your wife, as do unto them as you would have them do unto you. Amen. Isn't that the whole duty? And so let's take a look at this a little bit more tonight, and we'll look at a couple of examples. But we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we saw that how it expressed itself, and I won't get hung up in the review, but we talked about the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so as we survey our hearts again here tonight, can you say that you're joyful? You have the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is my hallelujah. Do you feel beat down tonight? Do you feel like you're barely making it? You drug yourself into worship here this evening? Where is your strength, praise God? Maybe the fact that joy is lacking in our lives could answer some of that. How about instead of being weighted down with all of the worldly cares, why are you so weighted down? You have no promise that you're going to have misery tomorrow. Amen. Why are you relishing in it tonight? You have no promise. You might just get caught out of that tonight, praise God, when the trumpet sounds. Amen. Where's the joy of the Lord? That supernatural response to having ingested the Word of God. I found your Word, I ate it, and it became unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You can't live in the Word and not have the joy of the Lord. Joy lives exclusive of circumstances. It doesn't matter how adverse the circumstances are. The joy of the Lord transcends that. Hallelujah. It doesn't say we're not going to have emotional responses to adversity. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with weeping. There's nothing wrong with emotions. There's nothing wrong when it hurts, praise God. When loved ones die, when adversity comes and we lose our possessions, the house burns down, whatever it might be, those things that bring sorrow to us. But beloved, that's not the end of the matter. The end of the matter is this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Hallelujah. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. The fruit of the Spirit. You see, when we're alive in the Spirit, the things of this world don't weigh us down. Those are the weights and sins that do so easily beset us. Nah, joy will break those chains, man. Hallelujah. This is not the end of this matter. In all of these things, I'm more than a conqueror. Through Christ. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's when we know we're walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit's not a feeling. It's not a revelation. Walking in the Spirit is a rest. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Peace and joy comes from ceasing from our own labors. As long as you think you've got to put some more energy and effort into this and somehow, you know, I've got to make sure that in case God fails, I can get us out of this mess. What a miserable life. Haven't you already tried that? In fact, isn't that what God has saved you from? Let me remind you something tonight. God has saved you from yourself. Hallelujah. Salvation is the abolishing of the self man. Salvation is the death of the ego, of the self. And when Christ comes and dwells in us, the very character of Jesus, the character of Christ dwelling in you, the hope of glory, that character is the fruit of the Spirit. That's Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that Jesus is alive in you, that He is Lord of your life. The works of the flesh are some of these things you're still holding on to, and they're bringing you heartache and defeat and destruction. And so he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Believing, as we ended last session, the love that God has toward us. I served Jesus for over 35 years before I got the full revelation that he really loved me. Oh, what a difference. What a life, what a liberty, praise God, to know your acceptance in the Beloved. I've noticed that the greatest change in my life through that realization of how much God loved me, His unconditional love for me. I've shared my testimony before, I won't go into it, but I grew up in that performance environment. Grew up under the great generation. You were never told you were loved. You were never embraced. You were never in any way, I think one of my father's greatest fears was that there would be any weakness. You need to grow up and understand that when that next world war comes and when that next depression comes, you got to be tough enough to make it. So I'm going to make you tough so you can stand. What I found through discovering the unconditional love of God, and the greatest effect of that has been my ability to finally love others, praise God. It's allowed me to be more compassionate, more long-suffering. What we're going to deal with tonight, more gentle. To be kind. Found out that a real man is one that is those things. Not tough. Doesn't have anything to do with natural abilities or accomplishments. And so as I'm learning, and I'm still learning these truths, you see then in the scriptures the life of Jesus that now is alive in us. And beloved, if these character traits are not dominating our lives, then we should ask why. We know what the antithesis is. We know what is up against this from the lust of the flesh, the self-life. When it talks about the self-man and the fact that the self-man, you know, love does not behave itself unseemingly. It's not puffed up. It doesn't demand its own way. Love thinks no evil. Now, some of these things will come into our, it's in our flesh, and these things will rise up and we have to bring them back down. I'm not saying to get under condemnation if these things come up and you have to deal with them and pull them back down. Get concerned if you're not pulling them down. Amen. Get concerned if they're beginning to be preeminent in your life. Get concerned if what you're dealing with here and your inability to die to self and prefer others and to serve the body of Christ and to mutual edification, if that's not what's dominating in our lives, then I don't care if you speak in tongues. I don't care if you spend 10 hours a day in prayer. You're not living in the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Tongues is the initial physical evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The fruit is the evidence of the indwelling and continuation of the Spirit in you. And so we saw then that he talked about joy and how needful that joy is in our lives. Circumstances cannot rob the joy of the Lord. And we saw then that it went on and talked about peace, and he's given us a peace that passes understanding. Peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you, Jesus said. So as we get ready to go on tonight, just ask yourself as we're seated here now, in the midst of all of today's circumstances, this month's circumstances, this year's circumstances, life's circumstances. Not many, many weeks now till I have my 51st spiritual birthday. Having been born again 51 years, and I look back and boy, it seems like it's been like that, doesn't it? Now I know you 25-year-olds can't relate. But those of us that are a little grayer, it's gone by so fast. As you get toward the end, I know I've spent a lot of time recently, I've asked, Father, what have I left that's worth anything? The effect of my life for your kingdom. What's going to burn up and what's going to remain? And by your grace, you've brought us this far, and by your grace, you'll help us finish this course. And I don't know how much time I have left. But as you're preparing your church, that means me. You're purifying me. You're cleansing me. You're washing me with the water of your word. I'd love to be able to do more in these last years Father's given me than I've done in the previous 50 that remains for the glory of God. Work in me, Father, to will and to do your good pleasure. And so we see that joy and that peace that was to come to us, and we talked about the long suffering. I won't go back into that aspect of it, but how vital it is as it pertains to these next two character traits that we're going to talk about tonight. That long suffering, that ability to bear long with others, to be patient with other people. We need to be patient with other people, and we need other people to be patient with us. Amen? You remember that great parable? Isn't it interesting that the man said, he said, be patient with me and I will pay you all. And the guy said, no. took him by the throat, demanded full payment, and had him cast into the prison. And we've talked about that many times. That's not an advisable move as we relate to one another, is it? Because guess what? Somebody's watching. The judge of all the earth is watching. And beloved, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Amen?
Amen.
If that's the case, I want to turn up my patience. Because the more patient I am with those around me, the more patient God is with me. The more loving I am to those that are around me, the more God reveals His love to me. You notice I didn't say the more He loves me. He can't love you any more than eternally. But it expresses itself. We come to that understanding. Love is patient and kind, the scripture says. It bears up under adversity. It bears up under trials. It bears up under criticism. It bears up under all of these things. And it does not ever retaliate. In fact, it responds with the exact opposite. If the fruit of the Spirit is in you, the moment your enemy rises up and says everything ugly about you, you bless them back. Amen? I've had those people that have left here, these people that hate me, they've threatened my grandchildren's lives. You don't all know about everything of some of these things. They've been, my grandchildren have been threatened. My daughter's life has been threatened by these people that have left. The physical threats that have been made. Being accosted on the streets and threatened. You know, I've told you in the last 15 years, the love of God having been made so real to me. That's how I know. I'm not talking theology. I'm not talking philosophy. I'm talking about, I've been there. They've been in my face. They've tried to kill me. They've tried to destroy all that we have. They've tried to take the most precious things to me. My family, the ministry that God has allowed us to be involved in all of these years. How do you respond to that? You bless those that curse you. You do good to them. Amen. That despitefully use you, that say all manner of evil against you falsely. For His name's sake. You see, patience isn't just endurance. Patience is an attitude of consistency, consistently responding with the character of God. And so when you see this aspect of patience and you hear the admonition, you have need of patience. We understand what it means, amen? That aspect of it, that long suffering that's so needful in our lives. That self-restraint under provocation. I mean, we don't all have these lies and many of the things that have been done plastered in the newspaper and on television and all of the things that you go to. You know, you haven't all experienced those privileges and yet you do experience provocations. We provocate one another. Provoke one another, I mean. Probably worse than provoke. Probably provocate. How do you do? How do you respond to that? The fruit of the Spirit suffers long, praise God. It's self-restrained under all of these provocations. Patience never. We never retaliate. There is no retaliation in a man who's alive and walking in the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I'm not just talking about you don't slap him upside the head. I'm talking about you don't have to get the last word in. No hands. How many of you love getting the last word in? If it's not a last word, it can just be even a last look as you're walking away. Gotcha. How about rolling your eyes? Yeah, I'll knock them eyes right out of your head. That's the way we grow up, man. You roll your eyes at me. Them babies will be rolling across the floor, man. Right? You all grew up with that. Don't you look at me in that tone of voice. But as we're alive in the Spirit, regardless of how ugly it might get and the things that are said, and you know they're wrong, and you know these accusations are false and whatever it is, and you don't have to respond. Now there's a time to respond, isn't there? Even Jesus did. As he stood before the high priest. There's times to respond when it's sin. There's times to respond when those people need to hear the truth. I'm talking about responding out of pride, self-will, unconditional, placing of a false worth upon the self. Ego, pride, name it. But primarily, love endures. And the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Amen? Did too, did not, did too, did not. Well, let's try to pick the strong guy in that. Did too. Did not. Is the strong guy the last guy that doesn't speak, or who's in this baby fight here? Who's the strong among us? You don't have to answer. You bless. You bless. You pray for them. And that's expressed then in this next subject. And we look down, and as he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he says that, you know, it's that peace, that calm, that long-suffering spirit. And then it goes down and it says, and the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. A gentle spirit. Would you describe yourself as a gentle person? I would never sadly been able to truthfully call myself a gentle person up until the last 15 years. My grandmother used to say an interesting thing about my Uncle Tom. Not the one in the book. I like the way she just expressed it, though. She would say, you know, Tommy is not just a gentleman. He's a gentle man. And he is. He's a good man. And wouldn't you like to be that to be your testimony, men? Now, when we talk about a gentleman, someone who's gentle, we're not talking about this whacked out gender role changing, what's that thing we're watching, John, on in the back there, that spoof? Yeah, what was that commercial? Yeah. Yeah, and they called it aggressive. Toxic masculinity. Have any of you heard about that? The Gillette commercial? And so now people are all up in the air. You know, you can't say anything today. If you say something, it's wrong. Somebody will take a word and run with it. But anyway, it's interesting. And so they're going to take this best, be the best man you can be. And they're like, oh, now, and men are just dogs and evil and mean and rapists and killers. And some of them even love their wives and pay their kids' way through college and are faithful. It's interesting that you can lump one gender into a big lump, and the other gender you have to be very careful with the way it's handled and examined. And toxic masculinity. I think I had that once. There's a shot for it. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, the unregenerated male can be very toxic. That's why the Bible talks about how we oversee our homes with gentleness and meekness and long-suffering and not provoking our children and not wounding our wives with sharp words. Amen? So the fact is, you know, that unregenerated men might be dogs, but regenerated men are saints, praise God. Let me end with this for this evening. We talk about that gentleness. Jesus was the expression of the gentleness, the goodness, the kindness of God. He was the visible manifestation of the Godhead. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? And all the character of God was expressed in the man Jesus Christ. The man that took little children in his lap and was able to love them and comfort them and encourage them. How cool is that? This man that could, as we expressed last session, this man that could allow this woman to come in, this prostitute, and her handle him in love as she wept tears upon his feet and wiped them with the hair of her head. The woman who had been set up as the prostitute. I like what the scripture says. Here we've got this woman and we found her in the very act. And Moses' law says we should stone her. What do you have to say about it? You know, there's an interesting question. If you were caught in the very act, there should have been another party involved. Where was the guy? Why isn't he there to be stoned? So here's this woman set up. Jesus didn't hastily quote the scripture that would require her stoning. He stooped down and began to write in the sand. Nobody knows what he wrote. Heard a lot of people try to guess. That's stupid. My guess is, and as he stooped down and began to write, the one thing we do know is that whatever he wrote brought significant conviction that every man turned and walked away, starting with the oldest. Let him that's without sin cast the first stone. Amen? Isn't it interesting how hastily mobs can be raised up in mob justice and not enough time taken to get the facts, so quick to apply law to a situation instead of love and mercy. Woman, where are your accusers? There's none left. Well, I'm not condemning you either. Go your way and sin no more. That gentle, kind spirit. We heard in the utterance tonight, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I will. Amen. Lord, if you will, you can heal me. I will. I'll heal you. He doesn't throw his robes around himself and to be able to get away from all of the riffraff in society. That defiled woman with the unclean issue of blood came up and touched him and grabbed a hold of his garment. And he stopped in his steps and he said, "Who touched me?" The kindness of Jesus, the gentleness of Jesus. Stop in his steps when someone in need touches him in faith and cries out, "Lord, have mercy on me." How much kindness, how much care are we showing the lost in our communities? How kind and loving and gentle are we with one another? When some of us flesh out, oh, there's times when sin manifests that it has to be addressed immediately. There's other times, beloved, when we can just be loving and kind and just pray and believe that God is doing some work. But it always has to be in this particular spirit. Gentleness. Tender. Pleasant, gracious. I like the aspect of another rendering that it talks about sweet-tempered. Are you pleasant to be around? Yeah, when everything's going my way. But I wouldn't cross me if I was you. We all know that that Mr. Hyde is in there, don't we? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We all know that in our flesh, that old man needs to be crucified. Amen?
Amen.
That old man needs to be given no more license to rise up and cause havoc in your life, in the church, in the lives of your loved ones, in this fellowship, praise God. It's very interesting in some of the teaching here. I shared with the men yesterday. I thought it was interesting because there was a response of someone and in some of the teaching, and it's just, the response was, well, you know, when pastor's up there and he's teaching these things that are just, you know, about us and our situation, and it just, you know, it's something that shouldn't be made public. And I just kind of had to smile and go, if you knew there's 8 other situations going on here exactly like yours. Now, if you take this as directly to you, then it sounds like you need it, praise God. But it's not to you, it's to us. And there's a number of absolute crisis situations in our midst. Lives that must hear the word of God, or they won't be here next week. And we need to pray as a fellowship. We need to pray for many of these situations. I just shared, I could share 6 that are of equal crisis right now, and they involve different issues. But the answer is the same. You need to step down and let Jesus be Lord. You, who am I talking to? You know, in these conflicts, when I say you, which one am I talking to? Yes. Amen. Amen. I mean, how many basic principles are we going to just ignore? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Take the beam out of you. How many do you need to finally go, hey, it might be me? If you think there is another salvation other than you dying to yourself and living according to these biblical truths, you, according to Hebrews, has trod the blood of Jesus beneath your feet, and there's no salvation for you. There's no other way you can be saved but by the name of Jesus. If you reject this method, there's no other way. That's what he's saying. He didn't say you can't repent and come home. He's saying as long as you hold to your rights, and I have rights, then the blood of Jesus avails you nothing, Paul says. And so as we've been taking time to try to not only address these specific issues, and some of us might be thinking, well, you know why? If it's just 8 couples, why are you wasting all the rest of our time? You're one decision away from being here. Amen? You're one fleshly activity away from being here. It is Satan's main device. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we ask that we would come into unity and into a harmony and love and oneness as it pertains to our homes and to the fellowship
that we would begin to see the fruit of the Spirit moving in our midst, that we could know the power of God. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The goodness of God. Kindness in action. Placing moral worth upon others. Doing good when the person doesn't deserve it. That's called grace. Lifting judgment from them. I decide to lift the judgment from them. I will no longer judge them in my heart. I lift that judgment off of them. That's called mercy. Father, show us your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, love one another. Hallelujah.